News may miss. We cover it all. This is the Ryan Gorman Show on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with James Berlander. Dana McKay out this week on vacation. And right now, let's go to the Holland Group Hotline. Check them out at askthehollands.com and bring in our market and air travel expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you this morning. And let's start with what was a tremendous week on Wall Street last week. Best week of the year so far for the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. What was driving those numbers?
Well, a lot of it was leading up to, of course, the Fed's wording, announcements, discussions, any sort of indication on how things might be going with regards to an upcoming interest rate hike, either being put in place this month or next. And then, of course, on Friday, we had the jobs report that showed a considerable slowing in the number of jobs because, and we also had inflation showing that it cooled a bit. And that's all it took for really the optimism to take over on Wall Street and to kind of cement, as you indicated, the best week that we'd had because at this point in time, the concerns over the next interest rate hike were pretty much being pinned on, you know, what's the jobs report going to show the Fed? What are we going to be looking at as far as wages and those types of things? And as the week ended, a lot of things as far as boxes being checked seem to indicate that there's no real, if you will, concern at this point in time that the Fed, who's been on pause for a couple of months, would actually take the next step as far as raising interest rates.
Yeah, you had a jobs report that came in a little bit below expectations. Plus, you had a couple of downward revisions from the previous month. So basically what it showed, big picture, is that the economy continues to slow down a bit. And that's what the Federal Reserve wants to see. That, along with inflation continuing to come down, painted a pretty good picture. And I got to tell you, I thought there'd probably be one more interest rate hike at some point towards the end of this year. You had that GDP number that came in really hot recently. But after seeing that jobs report and some of this latest inflation data, you'd think that maybe it's going to be a pause for the rest of 2023. And then we'll see what happens in 2024.
Well, you and I have been talking for some time about this, and I've been adamant, saying that it's very likely that we would see a quarter point interest rate hike before the end of the year. But look, we're running out of pages on the calendar.
Yeah.
We got this month and next, and so it does seem unlikely. Now, it would take a horrific jobs report in December, looking back to November, as well as some inflation data that would just be off the charts, I think, that would be required to really see the Fed doing anything more than at this point in time, just saying, look, we'll keep everything in place. We'll assess things at the beginning of the year and we'll go from there. There's still the camp that's out there talking about 2024 could be the time that interest rate cuts could start taking in effect. In fact, Ryan, I continue to see story after story about people that can't afford the homes they're in, but they're buying them anyways.
Right.
Because they think interest rates are going to be going down next year and they can refinance. And it's just like, hold on by the skin of your teeth until then. And then we can refinance and we can afford things. But that's, again, very, very dangerous because we don't know how long this is going to be. There's no cuts on the table until the Fed hits their inflation target of 2%. So to have any of those kind of discussions and certainly to plan things as far as your family's future based on that, I think is a very, very dangerous position to be in.
Now, taking a look at where we are right now and how the market traditionally performs around this part of the calendar, I noted earlier from Stock Traders Almanac, November best performing month for the S&P 500, and it's generated an average return of 7% from November through April since 1950. What is it about this time of the year that typically, now, you know, doesn't mean it's going to happen every time, but typically has the markets performing well?
Well, we're past a lot of the numbers that we have the chance to digest for the third quarter. We get past the month of October that you and I talked about was the horror movie of Wall Street because so many bad things have happened in October. November 1st and anything past that, there's just this emotional deep breath sigh that's left out. And people recognize between now and the end of the year, very few surprises should come out, because most of the things we're looking at, look, once the fourth quarter rolls through, anything we see is going to be pushed into the January as far as a reporting standpoint. So at this point in time, there's not a whole lot of things on the calendar that could impact stocks, barring something unforeseen that might be taking place domestically or internationally from a security standpoint. So it's for a lot of people, they say, look, there's a lot better chance the market's going to go up than go down now that we've had the opportunity to digest the third quarter numbers and have a pretty good indication from a guidance standpoint where things are at. That data, be it good or bad, still gives people the information that they need to allow them to, you know, plan the course of action.
Yep.